In a repeat performance of last year, the House has included a major IT procurement reform plan in its 2015 defense authorization bill. Now, last year, the plan was removed in conference, but this year, a similar bill is pending in the Senate. Plus, there have been some changes in the content of the House version. Joining us to help sort it all out is Trey Hodgkins. He is Senior VP for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Trey, great to have you with us.
Good morning.
So, Trey, this amendment, which is really modeled on FITARA, the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, what would it do?
So they made two significant changes, and actually it was interesting because they removed the provisions that are the primary cost drivers in the CBO score. The first section they took out is related to the centers of excellence that the original FITARA had proposed from the very beginning, that were intended to try and help drive market research and information and combine and concentrate skills regarding IT acquisitions in the federal government. That provision was removed along with the assisted acquisition centers, which were intended, of course, to assist agencies with their acquisitions of technologies and IT products and services. Both of those provisions were removed. Most of the rest of the bill remains intact. We haven't identified any other significant changes.
And Trey, just to interrupt for a second then, it's fair to say that center of excellence idea and assisted acquisition idea wasn't really beloved by either government or industry.
Well, fair enough? We had said that those provisions posed a lot of questions, created some challenges in the way that they would be introduced or proposed and implemented, and we never supported those provisions openly. We were focused on other provisions in the bill that we supported.
Well, why do you think that those were left out? Was it simply a matter of money?
I think that's one issue. I also think that industry had never aligned behind those provisions and those questions about how they would be implemented. There were questions, for example, about how would the changes to the acquisition of technology through the various government vehicles impact DOD's ability to acquire technologies. Questions of that sort remained and had never been, at least in our perspective, had never been thoroughly vetted and answered. And I believe that they remained questions for people in the Senate who, proponents or stakeholders in the Senate who were interested in the concept of improving the way we acquire technology but had not necessarily identified these proposals or these specific provisions as the best way forward. So I think that those provisions included some challenges to advancing the proposal, and at the end of the day, they dropped out. I also noted that they were the most significant cost drivers in the bill. So certainly for Senator Coburn, he expressed concerns about FITARA in particular because of the costs it would add. So I think he's not the only one, but certainly one of the more vocal ones on those issues, and that's another reason why they were dropped.
So what's in there that remains from last year that would change things for agencies and contractors?
Well, of course, one of the more prominent positions is the enhanced authorities for CIOs. Those provisions are still in there. The multi-year revolving funds for IT investments, particularly ones around cloud, emphasizing a transition to the cloud to further the cloud-first policy so that agencies continue to make those investments to transition, reinforcing data center optimization and establishing some more defined criteria and metrics about how we measure optimization and success. There's a focus in there about strengthening the IT acquisition workforce. Of course, we've all been very supportive of any efforts to improve the skills of the workforce. And then another important component that we have emphasized for some time now is enhanced communication with industry so that the acquisition community is encouraged and gently nudged, if you will, with congressional support to have the conversations with industry to better understand what technologies exist, what capabilities are out there, and how those capabilities can help solve the mission need. We believe very strongly that that is a major component that is missing from success in IT acquisition of the federal government is a lack of communication between the customer and their ability to see and understand what is the art of the possible, and the vendors and the vendor community who can help explain at a technical level what is out there and how it can be used.
Can you make this concrete for us? I wonder if, say, the acquisition of the technology behind healthcare.gov, would that process have been different at all if this bill were law?
It's not clear that any of this would have changed that outcome. You might have had some of the CIO, for example, may have had a different role and had a different seat at the table than they had in the acquisition of healthcare.gov and the capabilities there. But it's unclear that anything, the outcome would have changed, because in that particular instance, the vehicles that were chosen and then the decision by the government to serve as the integrator of the capabilities seems to still be a couple of the primary reasons why they struggled with that implementation. Those things appears that they would have still been able to occur, and those were options that would have still been available to them as they put that together, even if this law had passed.
We're speaking with Trey Hodgkins, Senior Vice President for the Information Technology for Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Now, we've been talking about FITARA, which is attached to the House version of the authorization bill for DOD for 2015. On the Senate side, I guess they've had their markup, and they are also talking about a bill that's similar called FITSATA. What's going on there, and do we know yet whether that will be attached to the Senate's version of the authorization bill?
Well, Senators Udall and Moran have introduced this variant of FITARA in the Senate, and actually last week they sent a request to the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee asking that they schedule that proposal for a committee markup and hearing. That request occurred at the same time FITARA, or this variant of FITARA that was adopted in the House defense bill, was actually being proposed. So it's unclear how that changes in what version or which pieces of the versions the Senate may choose to move forward with. We know there are questions in the Senate Armed Services Committee that came up last year, and I think they'll be raised again this year, about the authorities for the CIOs. And as we all know at DOD, there's the department CIO, but then you have the service level CIOs, and how that relationship works. And I think the desire to retain that relationship in its current structure, where the agency, the service CIOs can go and acquire what each service needs, but they are managed at a higher level by the department CIO with things like their investment decisions around things like cloud and also the engagement with DISA as an internal provider, things of that sort. I think there's a strong desire to retain that structure, and there's a question how that's impacted by the CIO authority in FITARA. So there are questions of that sort the Senate, I think, is going to be looking at to resolve and work through.
And Trey, I want to return to the question of what sort of procurements, what sort of actions this really is going to benefit, if not the big sort of high-profile political ones like healthcare.gov, then which procurements can be improved by this bill?
Well, it's a good question, Emily. I should emphasize that we have said some time now, and as have most of the other different trades representing the other sectors in the federal government space, that we need to have a broad-ranging conversation about acquisition in general, that there is no one silver bullet to fix the problems we experience today in federal government. FITARA addresses a number of those elements, but a number of things are not addressed by FITARA, and so it needs to be clear to everyone that we would not treat this and not see this as the end of the conversation, but a first step in the right direction. This is going to change the position in the agency structures for the CAOs. At least that's the intent, is to reinforce and actually in some cases restore that position within the department or the agency for the office of the CIO and the responsibilities they have regarding investments they have, the agencies or departments make for technology. That is something that we believe long-term, certainly, but hopefully in the short-term as well, can help change the way the decisions are made, can change the voices at the table and the series of questions that are asked as investment decisions are made. The next one I would point to that's probably one of the major elements that's needed in technology reform is the change in the way we have funding available and then the options and flexibility that funding has with it. This creates multi-year funding for cloud investments, but we believe the whole issue of how we fund technology in the federal government in a 3 to 5 year budget cycle is really an impediment to successful IT investments. It's also a significant impediment to true enterprise solutions. Because of the stovepipe nature in which funding is appropriated, it's very difficult for us to come up with a truly enterprise solution for things like email or HR, a number of the capabilities that are now looked at as shared services. Those things, they continue to move up, but it's very difficult for us to look at a true enterprise solution across the federal government, or certainly across the major departments, until we restructure the way we fund technology investments and move away from the siloed approach that is literally centuries old. It is not an information age. Way to fund technology investment.
So basically you're trying to bring a capital investment approach to a cash accounting system.
Well, for cloud, for example, you need to transition to OPEX, not CAPEX. You need to move away from the idea of investing in mainframes or data centers and think about buying capabilities and technologies over the internet, by the drink, in a more measured fashion. And that requires a different pot of money, a different color of money. Those transitions are the kinds of things that we believe current statute inhibits or current practice inhibits. And those are the kinds of things we believe we need to have a strong conversation about and find ways that we first and foremost preserve oversight and transparency for Congress, but create the ability for the government to respond to evolving technologies and get the best capabilities into the hands of the people who need them, whether they be the warfighter or the people who are designing constituent capabilities like at VA, for example, where you seem to have the narrative is that they're not fully utilizing technology, or at least that appears to be some of the situation that's going on with the challenges they have in that department. Those are the kinds of things that we think can be improved. Those are the situations we believe can be improved if we have a more flexible and more modern way to fund IT investment.
And Trey, just very briefly, your association still has some concerns about this language. I mean, overall, can you live with FATARA or with this version if it becomes law? And if not, what are you going to seek to change?
Well, there are a few provisions in the bill that we're going to continue to seek to get modifications or refinements to in the Senate. For example, they ask about an inventory for technology in the federal government, but it only is going to focus on software. Well, we believe that it doesn't make any sense to count the number of software licenses you have to determine if you've got the right number if you don't know how many desktops and laptops you have as well. So that's an example where we think that the inventory that proposal calls for should cover all IT assets, not just software. Another one that we have is around the strategic sourcing requirement. We believe that strategic sourcing is something that's still in the process of maturing. And, there's a lot of questions about how it's being implemented and who benefits or who may not benefit. And that's one that we think trying to move software or technologies to strategic sourcing, we believe there's further conversation is necessary on that point. So those are a couple of them that we're going to be looking at. There's a few more that we'll want to continue to refine as it moves through the Senate.
Trey Hodgkins is Senior VP for the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. As always, thanks for joining us.